لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين وقال أيضا يا أيها الذين آمنوا آمنوا صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Most respected ulama ikram, elders and dear friends, if you look at everything in this dunya, everything in this world, then it has an external and an internal dimension. It has an external form, which is the appearance, which is the surat of the item, and it has an internal form, which is the haqiqat and the reality of the item. In order for something to be truly beneficial, then both aspects have to be found together. The surat, its outer form, has to be correct, and its haqiqat, its reality, has to also be found in us. For us to understand what we are talking about, we will cite a few examples of things in this world, things that we are familiar with, for us to understand. If you take a mango is a fruit, a delicious fruit, which has a certain fragrance, a certain flavor, a certain texture that is attributed to it. So now if we take the same mango, and we cast this mango out of plastic, or out of some other material, and give it the form of a mango, the shape and the appearance and the color of the mango, but it is just an imitation mango, then will anybody be inclined to this? Will anybody want to eat this? Will anybody be attracted to this, like how they are attracted to a real mango? No, they won't. Because it only has the outer form and the outer appearance, but the reality, the haqiqat, is not found in it. Similarly, we have a lion. So if you have a real live lion, a lion that is a normal living lion, then everybody is terrified. Everybody is on their guard. So if the announcement was made that last night a lion was seen in Isipingo Beach, then everybody will be on their guard, they will be worried. He mustn't come in our yard. But that same lion, if there is somebody who has, a taxidermist has taken the lion and has stuffed this lion, a dead lion, and has made it look and appear absolutely real, and then we have this form of this lion here. So it's the outer form of the lion. Looks like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. Because the haqiqat, the surati is not there, it's not found in it. Then any person will be able to go and yank on its mane and climb on top of it. A child may even go and put its arm right into its jaws, into the jaws of this stuffed lion, without any fear, without any worry, without any concern. Why? Because it's just the outer form of the lion that is there. The haqiqat and the reality of the lion is not there, so the desired effect that a lion produces is not found. Another example, third example, currency, banknotes. So one is real currency, real rands, which you take, even with a 2 rand, you can go and buy some sweets or something at least. But a person, he has a bag full of 200 rand counterfeit notes. A bag full of 200 rand counterfeit notes. The fake notes. They look like the real thing, but they're not the real thing. Once it's checked under the machine, under the UV light, when you go to the stores and when they check, you'll be picked up, it's fake. So in that case, the bag full of 200 rand notes may be worth millions of rands. That 2 rand coin, the real original 2 rand coin, is better than all those 200 rand notes put together. Why? Because the haqiqat and the reality that is found in the 2 rand coin is not found in those 200 rand notes, though they are so abundant. Likewise, dear brothers and elders, this iman, this deen that a person possesses, this also has an outer appearance and an inward haqiqat, a reality. So though we may possess a Muslim name, we may attribute certain Islamic practices to ourselves, we may greet with an Islamic greeting, etc. But when that haqiqat of Islam is not in our lives, then we will not produce that desired effect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu aminu. O you have brought iman, O you who believe, bring iman. O you who believe, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu aminu. You, O you who believe, bring iman. So what does this mean? Obviously, this cannot mean that we must bring iman and accept Islam, because we are already Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is accepting the people, is addressing the people of iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers. So it cannot mean that they must accept Islam and bring iman in their lives. What does it mean? It means that perfect this iman. Have this iman on the level that it prevents you from wrong, and that it promotes you and prompts you towards good. So we need to understand this, as we said, that the surat and the haqiqat is extremely important in other things. When it comes to deen and Islam, it's even more important that we have the surat and the haqiqat. That we look like Muslims, we dress like Muslims, we have Muslim names, and we do all those practices, outward practices that are linked to a Muslim, that are linked to Islam, because these are important mandatory injunctions from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and many ahadith and many shari'i injunctions are specific for this outward appearance that a person is supposed to have. But together with that, coupled with that, we have to ensure that the haqiqat of iman, the haqiqat is also filled in our hearts and filled in our lives. When this haqiqat of Islam, when this haqiqat of iman, this reality of iman is filled in our hearts, and our lives are being, we are leading our lives like true, real Muslims, true, real mu'mins, then there are many benefits in this that ulama explain. One benefit is that we will be the first to benefit from the sweetness of this iman. That we will enjoy our ibadat, we will enjoy our worship and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when this reality of iman is in our hearts. Secondly, the non-Muslims, when they see us, when they experience our behavior with them, when this reality of iman has permeated every fiber of our bodies, and we are behaving like true Muslims, like true mu'mins, then they will be naturally attracted to us. Like how in our example, a person is naturally attracted to a delicious mango. In the January, February months, when the Haidi mangoes are in full season, when that ripe Haidi mango is cut in your house, that fragrance that emanates from that mango throughout the whole entire room sometimes, how a person is attracted to that. More than that, when our iman is built to that level, then naturally non-Muslims will become attracted to Islam, attracted to the ways of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third benefit is that, from amongst other benefits, the third benefit is that when this reality of iman, this haqiqat of iman, permeates every fiber of our bodies, then the enemies of Islam will fear us like they ought to be feared, and they'll flee from us, like how in the example of the lion. That when there is a real lion present, nobody will dare be nearby if the lion is free. Like that, if the iman of a Muslim is to the level that it ought to be, it's preserved and protected and developed as it ought to be, then the enemies of Islam will flee far, far away from us. If we look at the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, then we will find that they had mastered and perfected both these dimensions, whether it was the external dimension, meaning their outward appearance, obviously their names, and the ways they carried out themselves, and together with that, the inward qualities of iman, whether it was their generosity, whether it was their tolerance, whether it was their exertion in ibadat, the level of their taqwa and their piety, all of these things were par excellence in the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in. They had perfected both the external and the internal forms of iman. The surat and the haqiqat of iman and Islam was found to the highest level in them. That they had acquired it and learnt it from Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why they were prepared to make every sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing was too small for them. Nothing prevented them from giving their lives, their wealth and everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu anhu was going to be executed, and the proposition was put before him that, na'udhu billah, how would you feel if Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was put in your place and you were freed and you were let go? What reply does he give? Because this iman had permeated his heart, what reply does he give? He says leave alone Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being in my place. I cannot tolerate a thorn pricking the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was why? This was because Iman was brimming in their hearts. They had developed and realized the reality of Iman. Hazrat Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu, when he's making hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, he's prevented by the kuffar. He's prevented and he stopped from making hijrah. He doesn't bat an eyelid. He doesn't think twice. He tells them that you can keep all my wealth. You can keep all my belongings and my slaves. And let me go. Let me go to my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me go in this hijrah that I've been instructed by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was the injunction of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nothing came in its way. They were prepared to make every sacrifice for this. That is why we find that this Iman and this Islam had the desired effect on the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us in the Quran Sharif and says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." That verily salah prevents one from obscenity, from sin, from guna. We perform salah, alhamdulillah. But we have the outward appearance of salah. That's why after that we think about it. I'm performing my salah, I'm making salah every day. But it's my salah is not preventing me. My salah is not stopping me from obscenity. My salah is not preventing me from falling into guna. Why am I still falling into guna? The reason for this is because we have adopted the apparent surat, the form of the salah. But the haqiqat, the khushu, the taqwa, the reality of that salah is not in our hearts. The reality of the salah was in the hearts of the sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. That is why the salah had a desired effect on them. That when they performed their salah, they were so immersed and engrossed in their salah, nothing could waver them away from their salah. Their salah was produced the correct effect in them, where it protected them from falling into wrong, protected them from falling into vice. Yet another incident that is mentioned with regards to a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu, on one occasion, during the khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu was captured by the Romans on an expedition against the Romans. He was captured. When he was captured, he was brought before the Roman leader, and the people told the Roman leader that this person here, he's a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Roman, the leader, had wanted to convert him and make him into a Christian. So he told him, if you accept Christianity, then I will get you married to my daughter, and I also share my kingdom with you. The sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Iman is brimming in his heart. His Islam is on another level. What does he tell him? He tells him that if you give me your entire kingdom and the entire kingdom of the Arabs, I will not move away from the deen and the way of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for even a moment. So the king decides to test him. He tells his people that tie him onto a cross and put him up and start shooting arrows at him. Don't hit him, but miss him close by to him to make him frightened. So they do this. After they do this, they see not really making any difference. The king asks him again to accept Christianity. He blankly refuses. So they tell him, okay, bring him down. They take him off the cross, they bring him down. So now what the king does, the king orders for a huge cauldron to be brought, and then according to the narrations, either it was filled with oil or either it was filled with water and it was boiled profusely. And then two Muslim captives are brought and they are thrown into this cauldron of boiling hot oil or water in front of the sahabi. And their bodies disintegrate in moments. And then the king asks Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu that adopt Christianity, accept Christianity, or this is going to be your fate. He blankly refuses. He's really ready to give his life. He's ready to sacrifice his life in this most gruesome, in this most torturous manner. But he doesn't waver. His iman doesn't waver. So anyway, the command is given, right? Take him now, next put him into the cauldron. As they are taking him and putting him in the cauldron, he starts to tear. He starts to cry. So the king is informed, the man is crying. So the king says, okay, stop the procession, bring him here. So the king thinks he has weakened his resolve. He's having second thoughts, that's why he's crying. So the king asks him, are you having second thoughts? You want to accept Christianity? He says, no, I do not want to accept Christianity. So the king tells him, if you haven't weakened your resolve, then what is prompting you to cry? Look at the answer that the sahabi of Rasulullah ﷺ gives to this kafir, to this king, who had promised him his kingdom, half his kingdom, or a portion of his kingdom, and his daughter's hand in marriage. He says to this kafir that the thought is passing through my mind that I'm going to be dumped into this cauldron of boiling hot water and my one life is going to be lost. I'm crying. Tears are running down my face because my heart desires that I was given lives to the number of hairs on my body, and I was able to sacrifice every single life like this, in this gruesome manner, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The king is taken aback. The king is dumbfounded. So the king decides and tells him, okay, you kiss me on my head and I will free you. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu says, and what about my companions? The king says, okay, and your companions also. So Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu thinks to himself, this is a kafir, but he's going to free the entire Muslim army. What is there? So he kisses him on his head. He is freed and all his companions are freed. When they come back to Medina Munawwara, and this entire incident is narrated to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was extremely pleased with this, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, and he addresses all the people, that it is only his right, the right of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu, that all of us kiss his forehead, because he had to kiss the forehead of a kafir for his Muslim fellow Muslim army people to be freed. So, and Umar radiallahu anhu says that I will be the first to kiss his forehead. Umar radiallahu anhu kisses his forehead, and the other sahaba all kiss his forehead also. Why was this reaction found from this sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because the reality and the haqiqat of this iman had permeated every fiber of their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised his nusrat and his assistance. We find that the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every corner of the world is in an extremely pitiable state. Nobody can help them. Though the ummah presently has never been as large and as better equipped that they are now than ever before. But why is it that the ummah is downtrodden? Everybody is trampling the ummah. Every person who wants to take a blow, take a punch, give a kick, they are free to do so. Why? It is because this reality of iman, this haqiqat of iman, is not found in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it ought to have been found, as it was found in the time of the sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. This degeneration after the passing of the sahaba radiallahu anhu has continued and will continue until the day of qiyamah. But there is a way out. There is a way for us to fix this up. There is a way for us to correct this. Hazrat Mu'ana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah, the great historian, the great thinker, he has mentioned and he has commented that for us to rectify ourselves and for us to acquire the reality of this iman, there are certain things that we need to do to build this iman up. Some of the things that I mentioned is to remain in the environment of iman. Go in those places where Allah, the talks of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are taking place, where you are mixing with people who are the people of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the friends of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second thing that he mentions is that create an environment of iman and Islam in your homes by making ta'lim in your home, by speaking of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by reading the incidents, the inspiring incidents, the sacrifices of the sahaba radhiyallahu anhum to our wives and children and for our own selves, so that this love for deen, love for iman is built up in our lives. Thirdly, he mentions that make dua excessively for our iman and for the iman of the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the fourth thing he mentions is that abstain and keep away from all those things that pose a challenge to a person's iman. Those places where vice is taking place, those places that are drawing us away from the way of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it be on social media, whether it be on the internet, whether it be physical places, keep away from such places which will cause damage to our iman. In this regard, alhamdulillah, through the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in 2 weeks' time, there is an important program taking place, the KZN annual Ijtima, taking place in Newcastle on the 9th, 10th and 11th of this month, of the coming month, August, in 2 weeks' time. This is an environment where it's going to be a complete dini environment for that entire duration. Salah is going to be performed by hundreds, if not thousands of people in Jamaat together. That fiza and that environment of deen from morning to night is going to be found. The talks of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are going to be taking place. Great pious friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ulama ikram, will be addressing us, will also be present in those gatherings. It is for us to make an effort to to be part of such gatherings so that we can boost our iman and improve our iman, inshallah, to that level where it prevents us and stops us from falling into guna and vice, and that iman encourages us and drives us to be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we should make an effort, take our youngsters with us also, those that are above 14, 15 years old who can look after themselves, take them and go. Buses are also going to be arranged from the Spimo Beach area for those that who want to go by bus. Those who are interested can contact Hafiz Qasim Saraji, Hafiz Ahmad Kadwa, Mawlana Asad Chuan, inshallah, for some arrangements so that you can be for transport if you don't have your own transport to go. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhidu wa alhamdulillah.